What's good? What's good? We are back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Masson. Another live for Vietnam Friday. We live every Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Audio version will be downloaded later, and that will be uploaded on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Tomorrow we got music reviews. Make sure y'all submit your MP3s to livefromvietnam@gmail.com. I repeat, submit your MP3s at livefromvietnam@gmail.com. Let me go ahead and comment that and whatnot. We got a guest coming on in a few. And so make sure if y'all want to submit music for the music reviews tomorrow, which will be at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So 7 p.m. on Fridays, 5 p.m. on Saturdays, livefromvietnam@gmail.com. Submit MP3s and whatnot. And I'm going to keep that up there for a little while. Give people time to come in. Definitely. Matter of fact, you know what? Hold on. We got to get on here and we got to add our followers real quick. Let's add our followers and give me a second here at highlight. And I probably should get on, let me get on Dizzle Brand's account and go ahead and add that as well. So give our guests a little bit of time. Tell me, give them like 15 minutes. I'm definitely excited to bring on the guests that we're going to bring on. I appreciate y'all tuning in right now on Facebook. If you're musicians, make sure y'all submit the MP3 livefromvietnam@gmail.com. We'll be doing music reviews tomorrow. Tonight, we got a guest coming on, and she'll be coming on real soon. Really excited. He's from one of my favorite groups of all time. Group that I think has one of the most authentic hip-hop sounds that you could possibly listen to, and definitely just a pure hip-hop sound and whatnot. So we're gonna give them a little bit of time. Hold up. Ron, what's good with you, brother? I know you're getting ready to watch the fights tonight, I hope. So make sure if y'all got Amazon Prime, man, you know, go on your Amazon Prime tonight and look up BKFC and whatnot. And they pretty much they got a lot of good fights on tonight, man. A lot of good fights on tonight. See if we can pull some of our Dizzle fan base over here as well. Cause this show is brought to you by Dizzle Brand Premium Luxury Liqueur. Ron Dottery, what's up? Go check out my man. Follow him, Savage Combat Sports Media. You see him right down there in the corner holding a microphone. That looked like him and Jeff Houston right now. And you know what's crazy is like when Jeff Houston isn't doing, like he didn't do the UK event like some weeks back, man. It just wasn't the same. It was not the same. What do we got here? I'm subscribed to the app. I'll stream it to the TV. Okay. I don't got the app, so I basically go to my Amazon Prime and watch it from there. But make sure y'all, if you do got Amazon Prime, you can go look up BKFC. It'll be on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As soon as I'm done with this interview and basically saying what I got to say on the podcast afterwards, Got to get ready for those fights, man. First fight, basically, is two guys I just interviewed this last 2 weeks. So definitely got to make sure I pay attention to that one. Waiting on a guest. What do we got? I got somebody calling me. Nah, I can't take no calls right now, dog. I'm live. Also, make sure y'all follow the Paul Pinker Podcast. That's also available on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, BitChute, Rumble, TikTok. Pretty much everything. So we got the Paul Pinker Podcast and we got Live from Vietnam as well. Also, we got Dizzle Brand Premium Luxury Liqueur. If you you like to drink, you know, you like tequila or you like cognac, well, then you can have a tequila mixed with cognac called Dizzle. So the guy with tequila, cognac, orange liquor, mango mix. Just throw the Dizzle on ice and it's nice. Just go to DizzleBrand.com. Give them a little bit more time. Probably could be about another 5 minutes before he comes on here. Well, you know what? While I'm waiting for him to come on, let's get to a word from our sponsor and we'll be right back. Yeah!
Addicted, ain't no coke. Let's just have a toast. Anybody want some smoke? Cause it's up. I be dizzled up. Catch me sipping with my double cup. Can't just have one, you gotta double up. You pour it, gotta watch it bubble up. I ain't gonna lie, I cannot get enough. What Caddy said, I need another one. Gonna have you coming back for more. But go get it while it's hot. 40 sold out in your store. That dizzle.
I really mean it. You could Dizzle too. Go to DizzleBrand.com. So our guest just popped up. We about to bring him on. Like I told you, he's pretty much the founding member of one of the dopest groups in hip hop. Oh, he just popped out. What happened? Hopefully he come right back. Let's see what's up. Hold on. Let me text him real quick. One second. Oh, there he goes. All right, so here he goes. He's back. So like I said, basically he's the founding member of one of the most authentic hip-hop groups, I think, of our time, man. I just love the sound that they put out. It's definitely a pure hip-hop sound. I think when you think of hip-hop, you got to think of these guys. Let's bring on the one and only 5FT of Black Moon. How you doing, man?
What's going on, champ? You can hear me?
How's your night, man? Yeah, how's your night?
I can't complain at all. It's beautiful outside.
What, you still in New York?
Yes.
Okay, I know a lot of cats be moving down here in North Carolina, you know, and in Georgia.
You know what I'm saying? Because my family is a little bit everywhere, so I'll get a chance to do that as well, you know?
So I want to start here. You know, I like to do my research because there's always some things you just don't know about cats. And so you and Evil D basically formed a group back in the days. Unique Image, correct?
Yes. No, well... Unique Image. You said Unique Image?
Yeah, that's what it said on Wikipedia.
Yeah, definitely. Unique Image was a group that actually E already had, was already involved
okay.
in when we was in high school. You know what I'm saying? That was my man Oliver, as well as my man Ali, who was the MC, and he was on the beat then. I came on as a dancer when I was dancing.
Okay.
That's how I actually play a part in that. And that's how now me and E connected.
Did y'all ever drop music together under
they
that
have,
name?
He has the demos. He probably okay. still do.
And can we say that Unique Image pretty much started what became Black Moon, would you say?
Nah, before I met E, I met E in my ninth grade of high school, but prior to me meeting E, I was already living in Bushwick. I was in junior high school when I first came and moved to Bushwick in 86. So in junior high school, I was pursuing the idea of participating in the culture. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I guess the dancing, I picked up the dancing motion of it and the rhythm of it more than the emceeing part of it, you know?
What do you think in those earlier times, though? It seems like I interview a lot of cats. I mean, like Channel Live said they were dancers before. You know, Tupac was a dancer originally.
I
think a lot of cats were dancers before they came rappers back then.
But that was the thing back then. Before you could be an elite or be on the stage as the MC, first of all, you had to be elite.
Yeah.
Your bars had to be elite. Your word game had to be elite. But
now, go ahead.
For many of those that wasn't at that level, a lot of us at that time picked up the dancing perspective.
Okay.
It was a big thing back then.
Now, I never knew that Black Moon was an acronym.
I'm sorry, repeat that again.
Black Moon. I never knew it was like it was like an acronym. So
yeah,
they say it stands for Brothers Lyrically Acting Combining Kicking Music Out on Nations. Now, did you come up with the acronym first or the name first and then the acronym later?
I think that's something Buck came up with, the acronym for that.
So it came later. It came later then, basically.
Yeah, it came later on when we were trying to add more definition to the group.
Yeah, because that'd be a lot to have to say for
a
group. Yeah, go ahead.
It's sounding muffled.
Okay, I was about to say that. That's a lot.
Distorted, rather.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, your mic is sounding distorted.
Okay, let me see.
That's my side. Yes, sir.
Okay, but
leave and come back in.
I don't know if that'll really change it or whatnot. It could be the connection dropping here and there.
I still can't understand. You sound very distorted.
Oh, I do.
Okay. Now you're good.
Okay.
I got you now. Yeah, we locked in.
So I was just saying, like, trying to say that whole acronym would be like crazy, like trying to introduce y'all. Brothers Lyrically Acting Combining Kicking.
Next
that's
up,
a lot
brothers
to say.
Brothers Lyrically Acting Combining Kicking Music Out on Nations. Everybody give it up.
That's a lot to say. So, y'all released the first single, Who Got the Props?
Yes.
92, which became an underground hit. It was number 86 on the Billboard charts.
Yes.
For a hip-hop record, was that pretty high back then?
Yes, it was.
That's what I thought.
It was, you know, on top of the fact that it was an independent company that we came out of.
Okay.
And we really didn't have no budget money, you know what I mean? It cost $250,000 for the rollout. We didn't have that.
Damn. And, I mean, y'all signed with Nervous. After that, they were like a house label, typically, right?
Right, technically, yes.
Were they kind of wary at first of just trying to sign a hip hop act since they only fucked with house music at that time?
We got to Nervous through Chuck Chillout.
Okay, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
So, you know, we had performed at this talent show that was in Manhattan.
Okay.
Hank Love and Maria Davis at that time. And we went there, and actually we was about to leave because they was taking too long. It was seeming like they wasn't going to let us get on the stage, but then she ran up on us and was like, y'all don't leave yet, you know what I mean? And we went up there and did our thing, you know what I'm saying? After the fact of when we finished performance, Chuck Chilla had walked up to us and asked us asked about the group, what's our name, things of that nature, what, you know, trying to do it. Then he handed me the card.
Mm-hmm.
And in contact with him, you know.
And that's how y'all's relationship pretty much built after
that?
Yeah,
that's how we connected. Yeah, we gave Chuck the call the next day, and then he set it up to go to Nervous. And we went to Nervous. We didn't have no demo.
Okay.
Our attention came from the stage show performance before we even got to any verses, any choruses, or any hooks that people have come to fall in love with over the years, you know?
Now, later y'all recruited Evil D's brother, Mr. Walt, and it says like it was recording for pre-production on the debut studio album. For people who don't know, what would that entitle?
Pre-production?
Yeah.
All the ideas started at home first.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Back then, I think he was working off the task game. That was the
okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So everything pretty much started at home, laying down that foundation and the idea at home. Then we bring it to the studio.
Now, when you say foundation idea, would that be like the production or just pretty much everything involved with the
song?
That
would be more or less the production first.
Yeah. So, like, why Evil D, he wasn't doing the pre-production at first?
Of course he was. I would.
Okay,
I
that's what I thought. Yeah.
I'm gonna take you back to Unique Image.
Yeah.
All right. He was already making the beats.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how I came into contact with E. You know what I'm saying? In high school, we used to have a lot of talent shows. So after Unique Image separated, me and E still kept in connection. You know what I'm saying? And pretty much, he was pretty much dope in high school with the music and things of that nature. His and tour, and he had mad records in his house. So.
Now, did he come up with that early Black Moon sound, or was that like a collaborative effort?
Nah, Black Moon didn't have no sound. He was developing a thing behind us from the dancing perspective.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
So when E DJ'd in high school and I danced, that would create a momentum. You know what I'm saying? And that's how we got our popularity back then. You know what I'm saying?
Now, y'all guys end up meeting Drew Ha after y'all signed with Nervous Records. He was like, he like a promotion guy or something there?
He wasn't. Well, yeah, you could say that. He definitely was a promotion side with the college radio and things of that nature, making sure the music get to different DJs and mom and pop record stores and stuff like that. That's what he was doing there.
So was he typically promoting house records before he started promoting y'all?
He came in after we signed the deal.
Oh, so he came in after y'all signed the deal.
So Michael Weiss, which is the owner of Nervous Records, brought Drew Ha in.
Okay.
To assist him with the situation as far as the new hip-hop product that was being developed at the label.
And did it instantly click with y'all guys?
Who?
Like y'all and Drew Ha, because Drew Ha is like a kind of a big part of the duck down in the boot camp click movement, wouldn't you say?
It was everything was cool, you know what I'm saying? But after a while, it was more, he was more clicking with Buck.
Okay. Okay. On y'all's first album, y'all had Smith and Wesson. Like, how long of a relationship did y'all have with them up to that point?
Well, I know Steel always says that he met Buck through his sister Tracy, and that's how he knows. But I know Steel from Brownsville. His moms and my moms lived in the same, grew up in the same building, 131 Belmont Avenue. So pretty much, I didn't know him as, you know, still then, you know what I'm saying? But I the acknowledgement was definitely there in passing. His brother, Top Dog, is more familiar with my family living in the building because Top Dog used to be with my cousin back then and used to always be at my family's house once in a while, more than often, but yeah.
I didn't actually know they were brothers.
Yeah, they're actually brothers. Yes, they are.
Now, I interviewed Supreme the Elohim a while back on here, and I know he's cousins are still.
That's family. We all grew up in the sandbox of Brownsville.
And that's where you're originally from. So, like, what is it about Brownsville? I mean, I've had Smoother Hustle on here, DV Alias Christ, Stellar Dwellers, Illogy. I mean, Brownsville just seems like a whole different world.
It definitely is. It definitely is a little Vietnamish.
Yeah.
One of the hardest boroughs coming out of Brooklyn.
Which is crazy you would say that because, like, we call Fayetteville, North Carolina, Vietnam.
Right. You in Fayetteville, part and self.
Yeah. Yeah. Vietnam. Yeah.
My other brother Chris, his mother lives in Fayetteville. I was out there like two times.
Yeah, everybody pretty much been out here because they got somebody in, like a family member in the military at one point.
Right, exactly.
And all right, so Boot Camp Click. Whose idea was it to form that super group?
That was a Steel idea.
Okay.
And when it was introduced, to the clique or whatever, I wasn't with that.
Okay.
I really honestly, I wasn't with that.
Why was that? If you don't mind me asking.
This is perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we was real young and early in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like that was really a rush situation before okay. we actually got our feet wet. You know what I'm saying? Into the business side of things. You know what I'm saying?
But you do have to admit, man, like, it's in a really amazing group when y'all add all up. When y'all add y'all all up, it was, I mean.
It's the nature. Even in disagreement, right?
Yeah.
You may not always agree, right? But even in disagreement, the nature and the forces allowed it to develop the way it did and still be in existence to this point. You understand?
And y'all were really like a group of groups, really, when you think about Black Moon, OGC, Smith & Wesson, right. Helter Skelter. Right. I mean, you had some solo, even, what, representatives, you know?
Right.
And, like, my next question would be, like, when y'all was at y'all's height as a super group, was there any other group you think y'all could compete with y'all? If I was thinking one, I might would say Wu-Tang.
For 3 seconds? I ain't going front. For 3 seconds, when it first sparked, in the very beginning of the spark, before, you know, it really formed and actually molded,
yeah.
I used to say that if this jump off, this is not, we gonna be one of the cliques not to be fucked with.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And not even just on rap shit. Like, if y'all try to, like, bully these guys, y'all was gonna have a tough time.
Well, we was blessed to have a unique flow and be connected to the music a certain way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's what allowed, you know, the clique to stand out amongst all the other elites, you know?
So following the first album, y'all had a temporary breakup. If you don't mind me asking, was it like creative differences or was it like typical?
It was all
everything, business,
creative,
money,
business. Yeah, because, you know, things started changing after, right before the album dropped. Energies
okay.
and attitudes and things of that nature started taking place, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you know, a lot of egotistical things started taking place. So, you know, those lead to the discrepancy from my perspective, for me.
You know, something I never really realized in the moment of the time, and I just kind of had to give you a lot of respect for this because I could tell, like, you're a true team player out of the gate because, like, I got to ask, why weren't you on some of the main singles early on?
In the very early beginning, I still was developing my craft.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, with even in, I ain't going front, even with, you know, with the confidence, but it was still, even then, it was other energy existing that was bringing forth a discouraging energy, which... And added on to that already nervous vibe, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, at the time, you had Rakim D Rap Elite, you know what I'm saying? Chris,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Chuck, like, you know, even though I know in my heart I was dying to be a part of that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think I was at a point I've developed the art and the craft, along with the confidence to deliver and say, all right, I'm here now. You know what I mean? And I think I've developed that over time, especially after the Enter the Stage album, you know?
I think that's a very honest answer, man. You know what I'm saying? Some people would be like, they was shitting on me or this, that, and the third. I really didn't expect that answer.
I'm just speaking for my behalf, and that's not to throw no.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was that energy.
I mean, because you were in the videos. You were in the videos, but you weren't on the songs. And
couple,
I was just like, damn.
You know what I'm saying? Besides, yeah. I missed. I ain't going to deny I got to take responsibility of me going to jail. You know what I'm saying?
So was that part of it? That why you wasn't on some of the songs? Because you was incarcerated?
I mean, I wasn't on those songs before I was incarcerated, so.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
No,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that was, to me, that was
so
used
that
as
had nothing
advantage.
To do with it, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, but all I did was make me.
Now, y'all had a lawsuit with Nervous.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Yes. So y'all had a loss. Y'all had a lawsuit against Nervous Records where they basically released the compilation without y'all's permission. And right. I guess y'all won the lawsuit. Is that just another example of industry rule number 4,080? Record company people are shady.
They shady by nature.
Yeah,
they shady, naughty by nature. But your objective and your responsibility is to know your business. Like even before we got to Nervous, we were supposed to go to Def Jam. We wasn't supposed to go to Nervous.
Oh shit! So we why that didn't go through?
We had a meeting. Listen, we had a meeting in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
It was me, Buck, Evil D, God Bless the Dead, Chris Lighty, Leo Cohen. Leo Cohen was ready to not only sign us, but buy us out our contract with Nervous. And they only gave us peanuts for an advance.
Now, who gave you peanuts? Nervous or Def Jam was going to give you peanuts?
Yes, Nervous.
Oh, so... okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Was Def Jam offering you more for advance?
Of course it would have been more deal. Like, you know, Russell wanted us.
But why did that go through? Nervous not want to sell?
No. Because Buck turned the deal down because they didn't want Smith & Wesson along with the package. So he was trying to, at the time, shop Smith & Wesson along
with Black Moon.
Like, pre-air pulling into what we was doing, so. Nah, we lost out on that. They was definitely ready to do a deal.
Yeah, it almost seemed like y'all should have did that deal and then try to get them a situation afterwards.
And that was the conversation, but once again, you know, moment in time of discrepancy and disagreements, you know, sometimes the ego supersede the vision.
Yeah.
And when you kind of start disconnecting from the vision, then you start missing the opportunities that should come along with the path you're taking. You know what I mean?
You had a project called Odd Man Out. Did that ever release?
No, that wasn't a project. That was actually
An
article. That was actually
an article.
Yeah, that somebody did on me when I had came home in 07.
Okay, I think that's the one I read. Now, have you always felt like the Odd Man Out?
Of course I have.
That makes sense. It makes sense. I felt like reading that article and just seeing, I saw an interview you did with Big Shug and I just felt like I totally understood everything. You know what I'm saying? Now, go ahead.
What was I about to say?
Now I saw in something you said where in an article you said jail is an interesting experience, and then you said hip hop sometimes celebrates that, I guess going to jail and stuff.
Right, and look what we got right now. Was I lying?
Nah, I was going to ask you, do you think it should not be celebrated? And you think it's weird that something like that can have the impact you viewed as an artist?
Personally, right? I think that in the beginning of the beginning of that being implemented into the music was a warning sign more than a celebration.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So... now that we see that didn't work, people are now more back to celebrating the negativity in those that look like they prospered from, you know, partaking in that element. You know what I'm saying?
Especially with social media, it's like if you really want clicks, you got to post something negative or something controversial. It's like you post something positive, they scroll right past.
Because nobody's attracting, or it's not enough people manifesting that perspective.
Yeah.
And you know, to even be there, it does take a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? So 9 times out of 10, those that don't have or possess the mentality or the energy or the will, they're going to do the lesser that's going to take least work and become something easy and convenient for them.
Now, when y'all had the hiatus between the first and second album, were you trying to get a solo deal at that time at all?
Yeah, I was.
And
was
it
working on putting some material together?
It was hard.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was. It was a real hard. It was real. It was hard because I think that the impact that Buck had from coming, you know, through putting us coming out when Enter the Stage held a lot of ground, where made people see it like more, pay him more attention than me. You know what I'm saying? But I believe that if E and Walt would have came through and gave me some production, we wouldn't be speaking about this right now.
And I always wondered that, like, why, you know, you and Evil D didn't work on a project, like your solo project in between that or something.
You know, I asked myself, to be honest, this is all honesty. This is not throwing soul. This is not throwing dirt. I asked myself the same question. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To the point where I stopped asking myself these questions. You know what I'm saying? It's either two things going on. You either fuck with me or you don't fuck with me.
Do y'all still do shows to this day?
We don't do nothing. We haven't done shows since we did the last album, which is Dark Side of the Moon.
And what's the chances on that happening? Maybe y'all doing shows again?
I don't know. I really, you know, it's been more than 5 years. No communication, no phone call, no nothing. So, you know, we had a conversation a few years ago, and, you know, expressing the disagreements, and to me, you know, you're not being mature, you know what I mean, about how we should deal with the situation. So if you want to keep it at this level, that's what you're doing. So,
do you think it's hard to keep the group element together? Like, if you're just a solo artist,
hard.
I mean, you.
It's only hard for those who either are egotistical, or never had the royal intention from the start.
But don't you think hip hop is always gonna have the egos? Because, like, when I came up back in the days,
you gotta be a little egotistical, right?
Yeah.
But realistically, if you got a brotherhood and you're supposed to have a bond there, that's, you know, nothing should come between that.
But hip hop's always had this mindset that even if you're not the best MC, you're supposed to say you're the best MC.
Right.
Which I've never really agreed with. I never agree with that. That's not reality. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody can't be the best MC.
Right.
There's always levels to this shit.
Right. We know that, but those things are used for marketing purposes only.
So what can we expect in the future from you?
I got a project coming out. I got this mixtape I'm cooking up right now. I'm working on an album called Racist Fire. I got some merchandise coming. I got some artwork coming. I got a couple of books I'm working on at the same time as well. So we're trying to ignite everything now, you know what I'm saying? And I got me a little band too. So not really a little band, but I got me a band. So we've been working. I'm working over here trying to get things done before the summer tap in.
Hip Hop 50th, man. I like to ask Cass about this. What was your opinion about some of the celebrations with the Hip Hop 50?
I think it was thought out correctly. In my personal opinion, if we celebrating Hip Hop 50th, it needed to be done in chronological order so that no one gets left out.
Yeah, like a timeline. Yeah, timeline. Start with the early cats.
Start with the timeline. Yeah. Get the brothers that put in the work for it to even get where it's at right now. Even if they didn't sell a lot of records, that we seen their video, we heard their music. They part of the, yo, we got to get on, son. You see these?
I think part of the problem was there was probably a lot of show promoters that saw an opportunity to just make some money off the trend.
Everything is a snatch and grab nowadays.
Yeah.
Everything is a snatch and grab. So people could portray the role that they like they care, but they really don't care.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. They just try to make money off of the trend. and whatnot. So they just like, all right, let me book this old school cat, this old school cat, this old school cat, and call it a hip hop 50th. What'd you think about this whole breakdancing and the Olympics thing?
I love it. We elevate it. No matter what the outcome is, we made it. Because I remember, boy, you ain't out here on no, you ain't going to be out here on no cardboard breakdancing doing none of that. But remember.
Yeah.
No. Same thing they said about MC and hip hop. Same, you know. And look where we at, and look how far it has come—a global takeover.
So you didn't have the criticisms that other people had, right?
Say that again.
You didn't have the criticisms that other people had because they didn't like that specific breakdancer that they said wasn't really breakdancer.
No, I was getting busy. That's where I started the Rhythm Nation of finding my space in that in within the culture. You know?
And what do you think about when people say breakdancing isn't part of hip hop? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say my parents had a lot of parties on the regular. You know what I'm saying? When I grew up, I grew up around two turntables and a mic. I'm saying. So, you know. That's how I got a chance to connect with the music and pick up the vibrations and the energy of it and become one with it.
I want to know your opinion, though, like what people say, like breaking isn't part of hip-hop.
They can't say that.
Like, why would somebody say that, though?
Because they lack understanding. And they wasn't there. It's a lot of re-narrative things going on right now. People trying to rewrite the narrative, and that's not happening.
That's what I was about to say. I think people trying to do this to try to validate their narrative.
Everybody
and stuff like that to say
that they was there or they had PC in the game.
Yeah.
Or they have some relevance toward the game.
So you ain't cool with none of the cats on Black Moon right now? What, like Mr. Wall, or you don't talk to Mr. Wall either?
I'm not saying none of that. What I'm saying is that we ain't in communication.
Okay. So you got the books coming out. We got any name? You got names for the books yet? Or we still in the works?
Not yet.
And what about, we got a timeline on when you think you probably drop your mixtape or your album or something?
I'm trying to come next month.
Next month?
Yeah. Right before the summer kick in.
Okay. I would definitely like to review a song on my show. I do live music reviews on Saturdays.
Most definitely.
And whatnot. Definitely interesting to see what you got. I think it's long overdue, to be honest with you.
And I appreciate that. 1,000,000,000%. You know what I'm saying? I definitely appreciate that.
I mean, because I after doing my research, I mean... From what I've gathered, without you, there probably wouldn't be no Black Moon.
It wouldn't be none of that.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for me, it wouldn't be none of that. And I stand.
Yeah.
No matter how they try to re-narrate it and rewrite it and retell it, if it wasn't for me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And before we was 5FT and Buckshot, we was KB 1 and 2. I was 1, he was 2.
Are you exactly 5 foot?
Yes, actually 5'2".
5'2"?
Yeah.
And you know what I really love is like, I'm only like 5'3", 5'4". So you like,
and
basically...
I want to also say that I'm not saying that like, yo, if I made him write what he said and I made him, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that part. What I'm saying is I'm a part of that nucleus that created the ability to even do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm the one that bought him the Evil D house. He didn't have none of that. He had no access to none of that. He didn't know who he was.
Well, he was a dancer originally too, right?
Huh?
He was a dancer originally too, right?
Yeah. That's how I met him.
Yeah.
I met him in Brownsville at the center where I was always dancing at. There at the center where I was dancing at in Brownsville, 430 Saratoga, I used to see Scoob and Scrap. Kenny and Sean. Those is Big Daddy Kane and Coogee Rap Dancers, Master Ace, Lazy Lays. They all used to be in the center.
Wow.
That's where I started my beginning. You know, I started a little before that, but that was definitely like the time I was taking to nurture my craft when I was dancing at the time.
Damn, that's crazy. What would you say your most memorable moment in your career so far?
I think that I a moment that I hold close to dear, like, you know what I mean? When we was on stage with Rakim.
Okay.
That was one of my, you know, one of my moments, you know.
Is that your favorite rapper?
When we first went to Gavin, we was in the room with Coogee Rap and Supreme. So that was one of those two, you know, moments of, you know, having your favorite artist, you know, talking to them, you know, or acknowledging the work you put in, you know what I mean?
I got a couple more questions and we're going to let you do shout outs and whatnot. How do you feel about what I don't call it hip hop? I call it modern day rap. Like, how do you feel about that?
How I feel about what? The rap of today?
Yeah, like mainstream rap is not really hip hop to me, because there's no elements really of hip hop except rapping.
To me, that element of the music is a quick fix. You know what I'm saying? Kennedy Fried, Chinese food, quick fix. You know, the authentic work that's been put out, that's like a real home. You're getting fresh vegetables, fresh herbs in the back, fresh tomatoes, fresh parsley, fresh mozz. You know what I'm saying? So since it's been geared and put together to be at this level, because it actually started with ringtone.
You said with what?
No, it actually started through ringtone.
Okay.
That was the reassessment of how they was going to start selling the music.
And that was the ringtone. Okay, I never thought about that. Yeah.
When the music started sounding the way it sounds right now.
So they basically started trying to make ringtone music, is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying it started from then when they started, when they came out with ringtones.
Yeah.
That's just my theory or my you know, analysis of it.
What is there any artists that you typically listen to, like from this new generation?
I listen to Kendrick, I listen to J. Cole.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Griselda.
Griselda, yeah.
Danny Conway, all day, you know. Westside.
Pretty much the same ones all the hip hoppers are listening to right now, right?
Huh?
Pretty much the same ones most of the hip hop heads are listening to.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I still listen to a lot of the old, you know what I'm saying? A lot of the old stuff. And it's a few artists out there that I come across and I give them kudos because they, you know, I like their sound, I like what they're doing.
Yeah, J. Cole is actually from my city and whatnot.
Okay.
So we're definitely proud of him.
I was messing with J. Cole from day one when he first did it, when his hair was low and he was in with the band and all that in the fire.
Yeah.
Seeing him coming, you know what I'm saying? You could tell. Like, I think that's one of my gifts in the game. I could see and tell, like, if an artist come through, like, the potential where it could blow to, you know what I'm saying, with the right people.
Yeah, when he first came out, we knew him as another name, so a lot of cats didn't really know who J. Cole was, and then we seen a picture of him, we was like, oh, that's the therapist, because that's what he used to be called, is the therapist.
That's even dope, too. It still fits the same thing, but it'd be more marketable, J. Cole, because everybody...
Yeah, J. Cole is way more marketable.
Yeah.
All right, well, we about to hit this hour mark, man. Before we let you go, man, any shout-outs you want to do?
Y'all want to give a shout-out to my man, Bundy.
Okay.
You want to give a shout out to my nephew, Asaru. I want you to go to his page and tap in with his music. His name is Who is Asaru?
Who is Asaru?
Yeah, he's coming out of Tampa right now, but he get busy. I need you to tap in with him and even spend some.
How do you spell the Asaru? Is it A-S-A-R-O?
No, A-S-R-U.
Okay. A-S-R-U? Yes. Oh, Saru. Okay.
I want to give a shout out to Unguardable Pen Inc. LLC. That's a new brand that we come in. Well, my brother developed it. It's basically a brand for all the artists that have great penmanship when it comes to their lyrics. I'm paying homage to the quill, you know what I'm saying? Where it really counts at.
Okay, what's that going to be about? Is that going to be like a blog or something like that?
It's going to be a little bit of everything, but we got the site. We can go on the site and check it. It's really, we're coming out with merchandise right now. You got the hats going.
Okay.
So, all the artists that got an Unguardable Pen, they get busy with their pen there. I think they could appreciate it.
That's what's up. Any other shout-outs you want to do?
Shout-out to the big world out there. Everybody that's still keeping it thorough and keeping it real to the authenticity of what hip hop is. Let's go.
Well, I want to shout you out. Appreciate you taking the time out.
Thank you, champion.
Always been a fan. Like I said, I think y'all had one of the most authentic sounds. But I think of hip hop, that early Black Moon sound just really, it's up there, man. It's up there with the best, man.
And I appreciate I appreciate your support. It means more than a little bit. That's one of the reasons why I still keep doing what I'm about to do anyway, but I've been still, putting that work in.
Well, you a friend of the show, man, so anytime you post something, I'm going to make sure I do the like, the comment, all that good stuff. I'm going to send you my email if you want to send any new music
right. For
reviews. Please send it over, and I like to stay in touch, and I'll reach out and just see how you're doing from time to time,
Now we connected. Yeah. We connected. Oh,
shit. Yeah. You say your phone about to die? Oh, I think we lost him. I think we just lost him. Yep, look like we just lost him. Well, we're going to wrap it up, man. Appreciate Five Footer from Black Moon coming on. Definitely interesting story. I mean, I did my research and I definitely could tell, like, this dude is extremely important to, Black Moon's existence. I mean, from what I gathered, without Five Footer, 5FT, probably wouldn't be no Black Moon. You know what I'm saying? It possibly would not be no Black Moon today. But, his phone died down. We're about to wrap it up. Bare Knuckles coming on in a few. We got about 13 minutes. Actually, before I go, I want to talk about something real quick. Make sure if y'all got Amazon Prime, go to Amazon Prime, look up BKFC, and you can watch some bare knuckle fights tonight. Really good fight card in Clearwater, Florida. A lot of guys I interviewed are on this card and whatnot, so I'm definitely tuning in. Something I want to talk about. Like, we got to get back to traditional methods of marketing and promotions. We need to get back to traditional methods. We've let the digital world basically dictate of trying to kill off all traditional things. Unsigned artists need to stop trying to copy major label artists or mainstream artists. What you need to copy everything that they did to get to the point of being a mainstream artist or being a major label artist. Y'all copying all the wrong things. Y'all trying to copy all the things that major artists are doing under major situations when you got no marketing budget, you got no investor, anything of that sort. Don't do that, man. You need to be doing all the things that they had to get to that point, like trying to do shows, trying to sell merch, trying to sell CDs. This one thing I can tell you, people that try to tell you, oh, nobody listens to CDs no more, then why are cats like Joyner Lucas and Tech N9ne still printing up CDs and still selling them? And whether they listen to them or not, people are buying CDs still. That's the thing. It's not whether or not are people still listening to CDs. It's about are people still buying CDs. It's not whether or not are people still listening to cassettes. Will they still buy cassettes? Will they still buy wax records? Everybody's asking the wrong question. Do people still listen to CDs? Who cares? Do they still buy CDs? If they still buy CDs, guess what? Still print them up. If people will still buy a cassette, still print it up. If people will buy wax still, which people still buy wax because artists are selling out wax still, you know, print them up. You know what I'm saying? Try to sell merch. Try to sell CDs. Try to sell anything with your face on it. Create some worth. Because I can tell you, in this business, your worth is based on how many people are willing to pay to watch you perform. I repeat, your worth is basically based on how much or how many people are willing to pay to watch you perform. That's your worth. If you think your worth is based off of streaming, I mean, let's think about this. You get $4,000 per a million views or a million plays. If you get 10 million monthly listeners, that's 40,000. But most of that's going to the major labels. Most of that's going to the major labels to recoup all the money they put out. Like, so only a small portion of that every 4,000 for a million is going to the artist's pocket, man. That's crumbs compared to back in the days when you sold a million copies and you got $10 million easy of gross revenue. A million, like we went from getting $10 million gross revenue off of a million copies. In all due respect, yeah, you had to print out CDs and cassettes and all that stuff. But damn, 10 million. Now you went from 10 million of gross revenue off of a million copies, because albums were like $9.99 on up, to $4,000. Your worth isn't how many people going to pay you to perform, man, or how many people going to pay you for features. And I can tell you right now, if ain't nobody willing to pay to watch you perform, you shouldn't be expecting anybody to pay for you to do a feature. Some artists think just because they can rap good that they should get paid for features. That's not how it works. Why would I pay you for a feature if you're not going to bring me more listeners? If more people are not going to come listen to my song because I paid you for a feature, why would I pay you for a feature? That's how it works. You're paying for a name. Really, that's what you're paying for. You're paying for a name that's supposed to bring a certain amount of listeners or a certain amount of viewers. That's what you're paying for. When you book an artist for a show, you best to know how many people can they sell out. What's the size venue that they can sell out? You book an artist that only gets 1,000, sells out 1,000 people, and you put them in a $10,000 people venue. Money lost, man. Money lost. Your worth is based on how many people are going to pay you to perform. That's how all the old schoolers are still making a living. Cats from the 80s, 90s, dudes with hit records, one-hit wonders like Ski-Lo and Young MC and Tone Loc and all these guys, man. They go perform that one hit every single year. And they could do enough shows and enough run to pay most of probably all their bills for the year. You know, so your worth is based on how many people is going to pay you to perform. Stop thinking just because you rap good that you bring a certain value. Oh, I'd rather pay a guy who's whack as fuck and going to bring me a shit ton of fans to pay some dude just that thinks he's dope to rap on my song, and I get this many fans out of it. Zero. Your worth is based on your consumer base and your fan base, and that's it. How many people are willing to spend money on what you selling? Whether it's ticket sales, whether it's CD sales, whether it's merchandise sales, I don't care what it is. That's your worth. Stop thinking just because you make music that you bring something to the table. How many fans do you bring to the table? Because if you're not bringing actual revenue to the table, if you're not going to bring money to the table, you better bring fan base, consumer base that we could turn into money. Where I can just invest it on top, invest into what you already got going and make it even bigger and we make money. And that's the thing. People, like, in the 90s, labels, every artist label signed, they had to develop. They had to market, promote from ground up. They hardly had, they had no fans to start, unless you were, like, too short selling out the trunk or whatnot. So they, back in then, they took a lot of risks. They took a lot of risk in the 80s and 90s because they had to develop every single artist. They don't develop artists no more. Artists already become, come developed, come packaged. They come with fan base, consumer base. They're already established. They're already getting paid shows. They're already generating some kind of revenue, whether it's actual physical copy sales or it's actual streams or it's actual merchandise or something, man. But, yeah, I got to go. We got, like, 5 minutes. BKFC is going to start. Like I said, go to Amazon Prime. Check that out. Don't forget, this podcast is brought to you by Dizzle Brand Premium Luxury Liqueur. Go to DizzleBrand.com. Definitely shouts out to 5FT of Black Moon. Appreciate him taking time out to do this. And next week, we got Q Unique of The Arsonist. And we also got Reef Hustle next week as well. So we got two interviews next week, and I got another fight interview coming up Monday. I'll be interviewing Wild Bill from the BKFC Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Appreciate y'all tuning in to another episode of Live from Vietnam, live on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and audio version will go to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Peace, and I'm out. What's going on?